good morning, Emmanuel. 3 months ago, our world was hit with the worst pandemic in our lifetime. In a heartbeat, everything changed. No longer could we freely go to restaurants, to movie theaters. No longer could we freely travel abroad. No longer could our church meet gathered. No longer could I give you a hug or even a handshake. It's taken its toll in churches who've had to, on the fly, improvise and change overnight. It's taken its toll on our families with a rapid increase in alcoholism, family abuse, people who are in a state of depression, wearing masks everywhere they go, hiding themselves, quarantining themselves. Now another spike here in our county. Will it ever end? And there's a sense of fatalism that's around us these days. In a recent poll, 46% of Americans said that the best of life is behind us. And we won't really see a new normal, and a normal as we've come to know it, in the near future, if at all. And so, with this sense of locked destiny, people are saying, que sera, sera. What will be, will be. It's all in the cards. It's all preordained. There's no use even thinking about it. My friends, as someone who cares deeply about you, I want you to know that that is not Christianity. That may be Buddhism. That may be Islam. But the Lord of the Bible says this. He says, I'm giving you a choice. And there's no better place for us to look in the choice that we have so we don't waste tomorrow. That what Moses said in Deuteronomy 30 at the time before Joshua was to lead the pilgrim people, the nation of Israel, from their 40 years of wilderness wanderings across the Jordan, finally, this new generation into the promised land. And his bidding words were these, I have set before you today life and prosperity, or death and destruction. You have a choice. If you love the Lord your God, and you walk in his ways, and you keep his commands, then you will live and will increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But, and here's the choice, if your heart turns away from me, you will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and to possess. God says, I have set before you life or death, blessings or curses. Now choose whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. Where you go with your life is always a choice. And this week, as I was preparing this message, became all the more important to me to minister to myself as well as to you that we dare not waste tomorrow. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. The person who says, I can, and the person who says, I cannot, are both right. The person who says, I'm going to succeed, and the person who says, I will be a failure, are both right. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. So what is your view of the future right now? Where are you at as you hear various news stories? What are you thinking today about your future? When we talk about the future, there's probably no more seminal a passage in the Bible than what is written by James in his letter. And he writes this: "Listen here, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we'll go to a certain city and we're going to stay there a year. We'll do business there and we'll make a profit.' How do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, 'If it's the Lord's will, live and do this and do that.' Otherwise, you'll just be boasting and bragging, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone who knows the right thing to do but doesn't do it sins." That's what James said. And this text serves for this morning a very powerful scripture to help us look at how we might not waste tomorrow. Because I see that there are three fatal mistakes we can make as we look at our destiny, as we think about tomorrow. From the text, the first of them is this: setting goals without God. Setting goals without God. In what I just read, there's not a single mention of God in the business plan. Not a single mention. He knows what he wants. He knows where he's going to go. He knows how long he's going to be there. But he forgets to check with God first. He planned without praying. He set goals without God. And the problem here is not what he did. The problem is his attitude. It was one of self-sufficiency. I will, I will, I will. This is what I'm going to do. I don't care. Come hell or high water, this is where we're going. I'm going to do it. Now, I've talked to a lot of business people over my years of ministry. And many of them were fine Christians. "You believe in God?" They say, "Oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I go to church." I said, "Let me ask you a question. Do you include God in your business planning?" And more than once, I could hear the reply, "Oh, Pastor, I don't mix my business with my religion." Wrong answer. You just stopped God from blessing your business plan. Churches can act the same way. We can get together in a little huddle. We can say, "I don't care what anybody thinks. This is what we ought to be doing. This is what we ought to be doing. I'm not wearing masks for anybody. I'm not coming to church because it's not right." Everybody has a view. But has anybody asked God? Has anybody asked God, or is this what my plan is for me because I want this? Since when is Christianity all about my rights? God only will bless us in the church as long as we engage him in the process. It's a mistake to compartmentalize Jesus. If Jesus is not Lord of all, and what we're doing as a congregation, then Jesus is not Lord at all in this congregation. You can't say he's number one and then you slice up the pie into all these compartmentalizations. When you start compartmentalizing your life with God as one balloon that you pull in on Sunday morning, and it's all about Jesus, and then on Monday it's about your business, and on Tuesday it's about your family, and on Wednesday, every third week, it's about your sex life. You know, I don't know. It's not integrated. Integrated. Blended together. You can't sing "Onward Christian Soldiers" on Sunday and go AWOL on Monday. Instead, you ought to say, verse 15, "If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Notice the difference. If it is the Lord's will, not my will, the Lord's will, if. I call that scenario planning. And let me tell you how I've operated my life when I've been at my best. I say the yes and let God say the no. And when I hit a wall, sometimes three times, sometimes four or five times, I'm slow at processing things. Sometimes maybe that's God's no, and I then say, Lord, I need to adapt. I need to have a scenario planning. And maybe instead of trying to get through that wall, I maybe need to go over the wall or around the wall, or maybe I just need to stop and admire the wall, if it is your will. I don't know if you've noticed this, but things hardly ever go the way you think they're going to go. Last January, February, I was with the governance board, and we were trying to think, are we going to have an associate pastor help me in ministry here? Not maybe the way to go. Okay, maybe it's time for a younger person to come on board. I'm going to retire June 28th. That's next week. That was in January, February. By March, all bets were off. Everything had changed. Murphy's Law. If something can go wrong, it will go wrong. And Murphy, I think, was an optimist. Because it's not a question of if. It will. And it will because we're living in a fallen world, a world that inherited the sin of the first human beings that has penetrated all of created order. Things go wrong. Viruses come. Man's inhumanity to man is shown again and again in atrocious ways. If you have your outline handy in your bulletin that you can download, maybe you want to write in it the word life, L-I-F-E, and circle, if you will, the two center letters. In the middle of your life as a Christian ought to be the word if. That's the big if of life. If it is the Lord's will, we will do this or that. That's why planning without praying is presumptuous. God says, I want to be included as you make your decisions. I want to be there to celebrate as you go on your journey and as you go into your tomorrows. Proverbs 16 says, we may make the plans, but God will have the last word. You may think everything you do is right, but the Lord judges your motives. So he says, ask the Lord to bless your plans, and you'll be successful in carrying them out. Everything the Lord has made has his destiny. Proverbs 16:9, we can make our plans, but God determines our steps. Man proposes, God disposes in the final rendering of it all. And so when we say, if it is your will, Lord, we can be flippant, or we can mean it. We can refer to it, or we can defer to it, or we can prefer it. If we simply refer to it, then it doesn't mean anything. It's a cliche of it's your will, and then off we go. If we defer to it, that means we see Jesus as the Lord of our life, and that he is going to be in control of everything. He's the senior partner. He's the boss. He's the one in the driver's seat. We defer to it. But the best way to live as a Christian is to prefer it. Not only is he that, but we prefer him. We want him. We will him to be in the driver's seat in our life, because as our minds become like his minds, then everything beautiful and good comes our way. David said in Psalm 37, take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's what happens as we prefer his way and allow him to do a thing in us in managing our tomorrow. James says that the second common mistake is presuming about tomorrow. Nobody knows the future. I mean, have you ever read anywhere online where psychics win the lottery? No. And you know why? Nobody knows the future. If they tell you they do, they're not telling you the truth. God says nobody knows the future. And there's a reason for that. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We've got enough on our minds just to handle today. I mean, if we had to take in every tomorrow and have it all thrown into today, what's going to happen next week, or even I'm filming this on Friday, what's happening on Sunday and I don't even know about yet, and a couple times it's been a very different than the Friday when I filmed. Too much information. We can't handle it all. And that's why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Jesus would have us say, give us this day our daily bread. Not daily bread for a week or a month or putting into barns for years to come. We trust Him for our tomorrow. Because we can't live in tomorrow. And we can't live in yesterday, although some people seem to try. We're to live in the now, in the moment with the Lord. And so, life is brief. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know how much time we have. He says, your life is like the morning fog. Your life is like a vapor. Here in the Central Valley of California in the winter, we can have a tule fog. You can't see the head of front of your car at 6 in the morning, but by noon it could be perfectly clear. How quickly things change. So don't assume that you've got all the time in the world. Don't assume you can get around to it someday. Your time card is going to be punched. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. In fact, God mocks people who think that way. In Isaiah 56, it says, come, cries each one, let's drink. I bet you never even read this passage. It's 56:12. You can read it on your own. Come, cries each one, let's drink our fill of beer. Well, maybe it says wine. And tomorrow will be like today and even better. Hey, it's Miller's time. We only go round once in life, so let's get on with all the gusto we can have. I'd rather go with God, wouldn't you? Jesus talked about a guy who was very successful in business and was just like that. He says, I got all the time in the world. I'm going to build bigger barns, bigger and bigger barns. I'm going to retire, save up more stuff, more stuff, more stuff for my retirement. And he kept on saving, saving, saving. And the Lord shook his head and says, you fool. Don't you know that tonight your soul will be required of you? And then who's going to get all this stuff? People you don't even know and don't even like. That's who's going to get it. So we learn from that not to waste tomorrow. Planning without God, presuming about tomorrow. The third pitfall is putting off what's right. That's verse 17. Anyone who knows the right thing to do but doesn't do it sins. The word for that is called procrastination. I have every intention of changing, but not just yet. James said, putting it off, whatever you're putting off, what you're called on to do today, waiting, don't wait. One of these days is none of these days. One of these days I'm going to get around to going to the dentist. One of these days I'm going to get around to cleaning out my garage. One of these days I'm going to get around to making that phone call and telling that person I forgive them and I love them and I've been putting it off for years. One of these days I'm going to get around to. One of these days is none of these days. One of these days I'm actually going to attend the Pastor Ed's mini devotion on Monday night is none of these days. Today is the day of salvation. There's never any other promised time for us to draw near to the Lord. Don't put it off. As you think about tomorrow, don't waste the moment you have today. God has given each one of us a choice. Life or death. Blessings or curses. And as we go with the Lord, we put Him in the driver's seat. Allow Him to be the Lord and Savior of our life. And trust Him to take us in the ways we should go, then we will have a blessed tomorrow and eternity in the Lord. Amen. Will you join with me in prayer? Dear God, the last thing I want is to waste my life. It'd be so good, Lord, if the rest of my life is the best of my life. And so help me to prepare for my future. And as I plan, bottom line, I want you to be the desire of all my heart and planning. So come into my life now. Today is the day of salvation. Make yourself again real to me. Maybe we've gotten into some bad habits during this time when we've been scattered. Maybe we haven't been in our Bible. Maybe we haven't attended Bible study. Maybe we haven't talked to fellow Christians. But we do want to follow you, trust you, believe in you, love you. And today, with all the unrest in our land and all the pain in our hearts, we ask you to bring comfort and peace. We ask you to stop dead in its tracks the spread of this virus. We are asking you to make plans for our church, that you give us a preferred future, not only for tomorrow, but for the coming months and years, that we might be your light and salt in the world. And as we plan, we're going to do so, relying only on you, and knowing that today is our day of salvation, and we can rest in your goodness and mercy. Give mercy to all who are suffering, our homebound, and all those who are ill and injured. We give you thanks for the miracle of healing, especially in the good news Christina Alvarez has, that her cancer is in remission and that she has greatly improved. Thank you, Lord, for all the prayers of your saints and for all of these things. Amen.